For the reading of God's Word this afternoon, turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. If you don't mind, I'm going to take my jacket off. It's getting a little warm today. Let's hope that the pulpit stays hot this afternoon as well. Appreciate Marcus and James so far today, and thank the Lord for His work in our church. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. We'll read Proverbs 4:23. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity again to come in your house and to be together and to worship you, Lord. We ask that you would fill us this afternoon, those of us who are saved, you'd speak to all of our hearts. Father, cultivate a clean heart in all of us. Father, for the lost, that they would see their great need. Father, see their issue before you, Lord, and see the problem that lies ahead. Father, see the great need to come to you today through salvation in Christ and repentance and faith. We ask that you bless the reading of your word and the preaching to follow now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 4:23. We'll read one verse. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Thank you. You may be seated. So as I was meditating about what to preach this afternoon, I was originally thinking and believed that the leadership was for Hebrews 11, to preach a message on faith. And through circumstance and through the leadership of the Spirit, God kept dealing with my heart about this text here, brought it about, spoke to me about Proverbs 4:23 and the need to keep our hearts with all diligence. And so I'm thankful that God allowed me to go in this direction, because this study was a great blessing to me. And I pray that it be a blessing to you as well. So we're not going to have an introduction. We're going to go right to our 3 points this afternoon. So the first point I want to bring out is the state of the heart. Okay, I want us to talk about the state that our hearts are in. And so it's clear that the heart of man is in a precarious state. The heart of man is in a dangerous and a slippery place. And so we can see this simply by the fact that the Word of God cautions us to keep our hearts in Proverbs 4:23. If there was nothing to be concerned with or no issue with our hearts, we wouldn't be told to keep our hearts from the Word of God. And so the simple fact is there that our hearts are in a dangerous place. And so there's no need for an admonition unless that were true. And so yet we have here this verse, full of wisdom, lying before us, demonstrating how critical it is for us to protect our hearts, which are incredibly volatile. And so think about it. Think with me of an illustration, right? Think about TNT or a stick of dynamite, right? There's all kinds of labels and logos on those. Think about a vial of poison. There's huge labels saying danger, poison. You know, the skull and crossbones. Think about all those things. There's a huge warning to take heed to, because those things are volatile. They're dangerous. There's something to be cautioned about. And so here we have our hearts are very similar to those things, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Our hearts are in a dangerous, precarious place. And so King Solomon, often referred to as the wisest man in all the world, King Solomon is the one who penned down this verse under the inspiration of God Almighty. Think about the weight that carries. Not just the wisest man in all the world. If the wisest man had said these words, there would hold plenty of weight because of it. But those words were inspired by God Himself to warn His people, to warn mankind about the dangers of the heart. And so for that reason alone, we're to take earnest heed to the message today. Take earnest heed, not to what I say, but to what the Word of God says. To keep your heart with all diligence. And another thing I want to say is, especially to young people, to allow this message to take hold, take root in your heart today. Understand that your Creator wants you to be warned against the dangers within. And the reason young people, it's so important, I actually spoke to some of them in Sunday school about this. It's so important is your heart hasn't experienced all the effects of sin yet. Right? You haven't dabbled in every type of sin there is out there. And so your heart is tender. It's soft by nature. You know, as a young person, you haven't had the experiences, the difficulties in life that have happened to you yet. And so avoid those things. Take heed to God's word. In thy youth, realize that you have to keep your heart and to do it now. Don't wait to do it. And don't shrug off the message today. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So if you hear the message of God today, do not harden your heart, but take heed to it today if you will hear his voice. So God wants to speak to you today. So listen to his word. Listen to his word this afternoon. And so we're admonished to keep our hearts because the Bible tells us in the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed what? What comes out of the heart of men? The Bible is not about to list good things. It's evil things that are going to come forth. Proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. All of those things I just mentioned, they come from within and they defile mankind. Think of the sins that are mentioned here. And that's not even a comprehensive list. You know, you have to turn on the news for not even 5 minutes to realize the propensity for sin amongst us, among mankind, to see what man is capable of, the atrocities, the sins that men are capable of. And it goes on even in our midst on Long Island. Just turn on News 12 and you'll see every day there's a murder, there's this, there's theft, all these things. See what's within us and to realize that we're all capable of these things. None of us are exempt from these things. There are other scriptures to prove that the heart is capable of devising the most wicked and horrible things imaginable. And again, if you've been around in this earth any period of time, you know that the heart is capable. Man is capable of doing the most unimaginable things. The very heart that beats in each and every one of us here today has this propensity and the capability of everything that we just talked about in Mark chapter 7. Everything that's there, it's in your heart already. It already exists there. The propensity and the potential to do it is already there. And so please don't deceive yourself into thinking, I would never do this. I would never do that. It's not possible. You know, the murderer doesn't think at first that they're possible of killing someone. And yet it starts with anger in your heart, Jesus said. And so that first thought of anger and anger and anger and anger. And slowly but surely you get to a place where your heart acts out the basest desires of mankind, which is to kill, to lust, to have pride, fornication, all these things, they come from within us. And so these verses are indicating to us that there is a very real danger that must be reckoned with. And that is the danger that lies within each and every one of us. We all have this danger that lies within us. And so it's worth noting that the Bible very clearly indicates that it's from within our hearts that this great potential for evil resides. It's from within and not from without. The problem doesn't come from our environment. I'll talk about that in a second. But it comes from within us. It's not an issue with the environment that man is in or where you grew up or who you associate with or what you're involved in. That is not the key issue that we're talking about here. The key issue is that we have a problem on the inside first, before all those things. I'm not here to say that those things aren't a factor, right? So I'm not advocating, you know, hang out with whoever you want to hang out with, do whatever you want to do, and that's not going to impact you or influence you. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that those things are not the problem, right? You can remove yourself from those things and still have the problem on the inside. And so it's important we deal with that problem because at the very core of it all is your heart and the sin nature that is within your heart. So for years, people have tried to fix man's sin problem by improving their environments, right? Or fixing their surroundings of people and you know, trying to make communities better and safer and things like that. And again, those are not fruitless efforts. Those are not efforts that we should not do. But people don't realize that the problem, again, is within us. It's not the environment that we live in. A lot of that effort is fruitless because the problem lies within. And so this is why this utopianist viewpoint is so flawed. You know, to think that we're going to one day we'll work our way to have this perfect society where there's no problem, no crime, no theft, no murder, no hatred. None of these things will exist. To think that we can get to that point, this side of heaven, it's not going to happen. It's impossible. We'll never achieve perfect harmony this side of heaven as long as the sinful heart of man still beats in each and every one of us. And that's not going away because of Adam's sin. The human race has been doomed to this, to the sinful nature. And again, praise God for the new nature that he can impart to us through salvation in Christ. God has made a way of escape for all of us. And if you haven't been saved, that's your way out of this sinful nature, is to be saved. And we'll talk about that later on. But when the Bible says the heart, the word heart, the reference is most often speaking of our mind, or the heart being the seat of our emotion, right? Where our emotion lives. It's aligned with our reasoning or our rationale, how we rationalize things. It's our innermost thoughts. It's who we really are. It's the real you. It's the real me. That's what we're talking about this afternoon. It's the real you and the real me. It's who we are on the inside. It's the side of us that nobody else can see except for God Almighty. And so realize that you may think that you can keep these things within, you can keep these sins in your heart, as long as you don't act them out, right? You can think that you can do all these things. But unfortunately, God himself sees your heart. He can see your heart, your innermost thoughts. You can never escape the all-seeing eye of God, even in your heart itself. God sees that too. So an interesting parallel is that the heart, the physical heart, or the heart of man is the core of man spiritually, just like man's physical heart, which is the chief organ, right? Think about your heart. If your heart stops beating, it's going to cause death instantly. It's the only organ that's going to cause death instantly if it were to fail, right? So think about that. Think about what spiritually it's equated with. It's equated with the very core of who you are spiritually. Very core of who you are, the innermost man, that's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about, the heart. So if our hearts aren't right spiritually, it's going to surely lead to severe problems in our lives and ultimately problems for all of our eternity if you don't get saved. This is why our hearts need to be examined. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Right? So as you think, as your mind thinks, as you think in your heart, in your inner man, so are you. So you may not do or act out certain things, but if you're thinking and dwelling on these things, that's really who you are on the inside. That's the real you. And so this perfectly sums up everything we've been going through thus far this afternoon, is that the innermost man is what we're talking about. That's what we're focusing in on here this afternoon. So what are the types of things we permit into our minds? Things that nobody else knows about. Things that nobody else can see, again, as I said, except for God himself. What are the things we're dwelling on in our minds and in our hearts? What are the things that consume our thoughts? What are we consumed by during the day? You know, I was thinking about this. If we could somehow export a list of a percentage of what we think about daily, weekly, monthly, annually, what did we dwell on in our thought life for this past week, past month, past year? What's the percentage of spiritual things? And what's the percentage of sinful thoughts that we've had in this past year, in this past week, past month, whatever the time period is? If we could export that here and review it, how would you feel? If everyone here saw what your thought life was like this past week, would you feel comfortable with that? And that's who we are. Again, other people may not see it, but God sees it. God sees it. These things will indicate to us where our heart is truly at, what the state of our heart is at present. And so realize that our hearts can change over time, right? So where our heart was in the beginning of 2021 could be very different from where we are today. We can change the attitude or the spirit of our heart. Our heart can be cleansed, right? So we know those things. We'll talk about that. But is your heart in a position right at this very moment where it would be pleasing unto God where the state of your heart is? We're told in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you." This verse is all about what the true desires of your heart really are. Again, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then everything else would be secondary. So are we going about seeking after what God wants, his will for our lives, or are we seeking our own will? Is that where our heart and where our thoughts are dwelling, on our own will or on the will of God? This verse is all about what the true desires of the heart are. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:21. So where your treasure is, what do you value in life? What are you valuing right now? When you wake up tomorrow morning, what's going to be first and foremost, preeminent on your mind? Is it going to be, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this? Is it the temporal? Again, I'm preaching myself here. Or is it on the spiritual? Who can I have an impact on this week, saved person? Who can I reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can I spend more time in my devotions as opposed to in this, that, and the other thing, right? And so that's where your treasure is. your heart's going to follow. So where you align your treasure, your goal, that's where your heart's going to be. And then what comes after that? Your actions and your words will follow the attitude of your heart. So it's really about setting our treasure. That's step one. Where is our treasure? Is it on spiritual things or is it on temporal things? If we set our affection on things above, now our heart is in the right place. And when your heart is in the right place, your actions are going to follow. So it's all about aligning your vision to what God's vision, God's will for your life is. And so for this reason, we must all examine our hearts today. Examine the desires of our hearts. The Bible says, mine eye affecteth my heart. Right? So what you see is going to affect your heart. And that's very important. Again, keeping your heart clean, guarding, keeping your heart, protecting your heart. You have to start with your eyes. Start with the gates that we talk about, the ear gate, the eye gate, the things that God has given us to allow us to interpret what's going on outside us, around us, in our circumstances, in our situations, determine our environment. But what we're looking at is going to impact our heart, and we have to be very careful about that. So we saw the state of our heart. It's in a dangerous place. It's very volatile. Second, I want to look at the sentinel of the heart, or the guard, or the keeper of the heart. We know that the heart is to be guarded. The heart is to be kept. But how? How can we keep our heart? Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart, how? With all diligence. We have to be diligent about it. This means that we're to keep our hearts with great care. With great care and great persistence and effort. We cannot afford to let off the gas a little bit in how we protect our heart, in how we're keeping our heart. It must be something that we're singular in attitude to make sure that we are keeping our heart, to be diligent about it. So much care has to be put into this because there is such a spiritual battle that is waged over the ongoing state of the heart. I said earlier, the heart's attitude can change. You know, you can be hard-hearted at one time, and then you can be soft and tender to hear what God has for you. I can think of quite a few instances of people that I know, and even myself, when there are times when I've been hard-hearted, and then there's times that I know God has full control over my heart. And so we want to be that way. We want to be tender. We want to be soft towards the Spirit of God. And so keep in mind, there's a spiritual battle that continues to be waged day in and day out for your heart, right? So even if you're saved, the devil's going to try to dissuade you from doing what you know you ought to do, from accomplishing the will of God. Your heart is still very much up for grabs, depending on how hard or how soft it is to taking heed to God's word. And so I want to focus in about what the Lord has equipped us with to be able to keep our hearts. And there's several things God has given us so that we can keep our hearts as he has commanded us to do. So first thing is, he's given us a command. He's given us a command. Mark 12 and verse 30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Jesus commands this first and foremost. But why? Because if this love for God is preeminent in our lives, it is first and foremost, it will drive our every word. It'll drive our every action. It'll drive our every thought, our every motive, our every emotion, and our every intention. If this is first and foremost in our lives, that we are going to love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart, then that's going to drive everything we say and everything we do. And there's something truly different about the Christian who's living their life being motivated strictly out of love for God. There's something very different about the Christian who lives a life that's controlled by the Spirit of God, that's seeking to please God, that's motivated out of his or her love for the Father. That's going to lead to a very different lifestyle, very different actions, very different thoughts. Number two, the Lord has also equipped us with his word. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Again, we've been equipped with the word of God. Let's read verse 12. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is what? A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What is the word of God is? That last part of verse 12 reveals that it is the word of God which discerns both the thoughts and the intents of the heart of mankind. Consider that today, that God's word is intended to shine a light, to shine a mirror on your heart, to reveal the problems that lie within. To think about how important that is, to even when there's times in life when we don't know what to do, we don't know what the problem is, that we can go to God's word and it will show us. It's a discerner in that way, that even when we don't know the path ahead, the Bible will lead us in the right way, lead us in God's will for our lives, will lead us according to the will of God, according to the word of God. And so the Bible is meant to be a mirror to show any defects in our heart, in the innermost man, to hold up the word of God and to say, Lord, will you show me what's wrong in my life? And there's going to be always something from the word of God that's going to put its finger on your heart and where that problem is. And that's why preaching is so important, right? To sit under a message from where? Sit under a message from the word of God, because it is able to discern man's heart. So I may not be able to go up to you or anyone here in this auditorium and say, this particular verse of scripture is exactly what you need right now. I don't know that, but God knows that. And he can use his word, he can use the preaching of his word to show and to reveal what that need is in your heart, right? And so that's why it's so important to sit under preaching, because it's able to discern man's heart. When we have spiritual needs, we can go to God's word for answers. God has given us this book so that we might be able to obtain the mind of Christ on all the issues of life. And we'll touch on that later in our third point. But don't neglect this great gift, this wonderful tool God has given us, in order to go to in our times of need and to go to daily. The heart can be guarded and cleansed by staying in the word. Again, we're still talking about what God has given us, and he's given us his word to keep our hearts. Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Again, we need the cleansing from God's word because we're corrupt by nature. We need to go to God's word and be cleansed through the word of God. Our heart is naturally against God. That's the other thing. Our heart is at enmity by birth against God. And so there's if we're to do anything for the Lord, if we're to be saved, it's going to take the word of God in order to do that. And so the continual need to be cleansed by the word of God is there simply because by nature we are against God. And so are you consistently going to God's word for cleansing? Christian, are you going to God's word to be cleansed, to be refreshed by the word of God? Excuse me. We've seen scripture after scripture today speaking about the importance of and how to keep our heart and to cleanse our heart. There's so many scriptures. When I was putting the message together, there's just verse after verse about the importance of keeping your heart to prove exactly what we're preaching here this afternoon. Number three, he's given us the Holy Spirit. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll read verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price, of great price, to have that inner man of the heart, that hidden man in that which is not corruptible, the saved person that work of the Spirit that can be wrought in the saved person's life. And it's not valuable to God what's on the outside as it is compared to what's on the inside, what's in your heart. That's what God looks on. That's what God truly cares about. And so we're to walk in the Spirit and allow that hidden man of the heart to shine through to others, as opposed to any kind of outward appearance or outward adorning. It's not important what we're wearing or how we look today as much as it is, are we in a position to come and meet with God today? Did we come wanting to hear from the Lord with our heart cleansed before him? It's the hidden things of the heart that are of the highest value in the sight of God. And then number four, he's given us the ability to communicate with him through prayer. David gave us a great example of this in Psalm 51:10 when he prayed, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He asked that God would help create a clean heart. He asked God for a clean heart, one that desired to please God, one that didn't succumb to the sin nature that lies within all of us. That's what a clean heart is. And yet David asked for that clean heart. This clean heart that he prayed for is obtainable. If it weren't, David wouldn't have prayed for it. Amen. We can all have this clean heart, just like David prayed for. And David needed it, and so do we. You know, if the psalmist needed a clean heart, again, this was after his sin with Bathsheba. And there's no time more revealing as after we've sinned, after we've done wrong in the sight of God, that we realize we need a clean heart. That we realize that man is in a slippery place, that our heart is volatile, our heart is dangerous. And we realize that when we're guilty of sin, and we have to go to God for that cleansing, to ask for him for a clean heart. We can ask for this and we can receive a clean heart. How? Through prayer and through regular cleansing by the word of God. We have to do those things in order to obtain this clean heart. It doesn't just come. Another example of our prayers unto God regarding this matter of our heart is shown if we turn to Psalm 139. Turn with me to Psalm 139. We'll read two verses, Psalm 139. Last two verses of the Psalm 139, 23 and 24, the Bible says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and what? Lead me in the way everlasting." David asked the Lord to search his heart, to know his heart, to try him, and to know his thoughts. Imagine asking, and many of us here who've been saved have probably asked the Lord these things. "Search my heart, O God, and find that wicked way within me so I can purge it out of my life. Put it out of my life so I may be more like you, Lord." And that was David's prayer here. But for what purpose? To see if there was any wicked way in him. He wanted the Lord, not just himself through his own physical eyes, his temporal eyes, to say, "Am I doing okay? Am I okay spiritually? Am I where I need to be spiritually?" We can all kind of do a self-assessment, and that's fine. But it's not going to be to the level that God would go through our lives and find any wicked way in us through his word, through speaking to our hearts, through the Holy Spirit. And that was his prayer. "Lord, please find any wicked way in me." And then, only then, would he be able to truly have the leadership of God as he ought to have. And the same goes for us, beloved. We must ask the Lord to search our hearts, to try our hearts, and yea, even our thoughts. That's what David asked for. And when we're at that level where we feel, "Okay, Lord, show me what I need to remove from my life so I may be more like you," then we're able to then follow after and accomplish God's will for our lives. Then we'll be in that position. Last, I want to talk about the severity of the issues. So we're talking about the outcomes, right? Both positive and negative that will surely come about depending on how well we keep a guard over our hearts. And so our text speaks of the issues of life, these issues that proceed forth from the heart, right? So keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. According to Scripture, the heart can be grieved, the heart can be troubled, the heart can be broken, can be pierced, divided, the heart can be joyful. These are the issues of life. Some are positive and others are negative outcomes. Whether man wants to believe it or not, much of the consequences of people's lives is rooted in their own personal choices, right? So however well you've kept a guard over your heart, probably where you are today. If you've allowed sin to rule and reign in your life for years and years and years, and you've lived out of control, your life is probably out of control. You're now reaping what you have sown. And people don't like to believe that. People want to blame others. People want to push, you know, this blame onto other people. But we've all been given free will from our Creator. We all have been given free will to make our own decisions. And whether or not we keep a guard over our heart will impact our lives in many, many ways. And yet, as I said, men love to make excuses or blame others for their poor decisions or their lack of guarding their own hearts. People love to blame other people for that. But unfortunately, the responsibility lies with us and only us as individuals to protect our hearts, to keep our hearts. It's not my responsibility to keep your heart. It's your responsibility. Every one of us has an individual responsibility to keep our heart, to be disciplined, to be diligent about keeping our heart. And so we have to have our hearts cleansed by the Word of God. That's our responsibility for those of us who are saved. And it's only through salvation in Christ that our hearts and minds are changed completely. We can have this transformation of our lives, become a new creature through salvation. That's what we're talking about here. And it's through salvation and salvation only. You can't expect as a lost person to have a guard over your heart. You know, your life is going to be ruled and reigned by the sin nature. You don't have the new nature. You cannot live according to the Word of God without the new nature, which is only imparted through salvation. But then following salvation, we must seek the mind of Christ to be able to adequately keep a guard over our heart. If we're not seeking to obtain the mind of Christ, we're not going to be actively seeking to guard our heart through the Spirit. We're going to not live the way God wants us to live if we're not active in doing that. So it cannot be overstated. There's nothing more important than protecting your heart. It's nothing more important than protecting your heart. And let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Remember I said earlier that the heart is something we can equate to the mind. Okay, so Romans 12, verse 2, the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So as Christians, we're told that if we renew our minds by conforming to the image of God's Son, we'll be able to prove, our lives will prove what is that good, acceptable and perfect will of God. So if we allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, again, that's the obtaining of the mind of Christ. That's the cleansing of our heart. If we allow that to happen in our lives, we'll be able to prove out, to live out the will of God, the perfect will of God in our lives. On the other hand, if our heart becomes corrupted by sin, everything's going to suffer spiritually as a result. If we allow this sin nature, this corruptible nature to take root, to take hold in our lives, there's going to be serious spiritual consequences of that. You as a lost person will enter into a spiritual free fall. Spiritual free fall in your life will become an open door and an open invitation for Satan to have his will and his way with your life. And so if you're lost, you have yet to be saved. Your life is an open door. It's an invitation for Satan to have his will and way. Whatever he wants, he can have that opportunity to do so, to work in your life. And so you don't want that. That's not keeping your heart with all diligence. That's working against that. So by not keeping your heart, you'll continue to slide down the slippery slope of sin. Again, sin always gets worse, gets more severe, gets harder and harder to bear, a more heavy burden to bear the longer time goes on. The unquenchable, sinful desires from within will rule and reign supreme. Those unquenchable desires don't just go away. Again, that sin nature within us is a burning, sinful nature that opposes everything that is good. So you'll be dominated by lust and all kinds of unrighteousness. If you're lost today, that is the pattern of your life. Whether you want to believe it or not, that is what's happening spiritually in your life, is that you have no control over your sin. You can try to, you know, keep things under certain wraps, keep things, you know, maybe reined in a little bit. You try to live a good life. But you're not going to be able to be pleasing to God with your life unless you're saved. You have to be saved in order to be pleasing to God, in order to have that renewing of your mind, the cleansing that God speaks about. This is not the design of our Heavenly Father for mankind, to live after the lusts of the flesh. That's not what was designed. That only happened through Adam's disobedience, that sin entered into the world, and so death by sin. And now all of us here are affected by this sin nature. We all now have the sin nature that lives within us by one man's sin. And yet God, so rich in mercy, he has devised salvation's plan, made a way of escape for all men. All of us here have the ability to go through that escape route and be saved. Even though the eternity is there, the hellfire is there, the damnation is there awaiting every sinful soul. And yet God has made a way of escape for all of us. That payment was made possible by the blood sacrificed on the cross of Calvary by none other than the Son of God himself. Again, he didn't send his angel. He didn't send a prophet to die for the sin of mankind. It had to be through the sinless one. Jesus Christ himself had to come and die for your sin, for my sin. God knoweth our frame. He knew we would be in great need of a savior to be made right with him. God knew that there was no other way to have this reconciliation with him other than creating salvation's plan, than sending his son to die for us. So if you're not saved today, every one of us has been commanded by God to be saved, to be reconciled back to him. Come and be saved today. Come for the cleansing, the keeping that only God can offer, a cleansing for your soul and a cleansing for your heart. Let's all stand together and pray.